This past Tuesday was Trevor's 18th birthday. Betsy's and our son. And he's up at Hillcrest Lutheran Academy in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, close to a 10-hour drive from here. But last year, he was also up there on his birthday, and we were here, so we weren't with him on his birthday. And in 2020, on his 13th birthday, Betsy and I were in Asia, spending time with our missionaries on his birthday. And 2 years before that, 2018, his 11th birthday, we were also in Asia, because that's a sweet spot that worked out for us to visit the missionaries, happened to be right when his birthday was. So we missed a few, so this year for his 18th, we wanted to be with him on his birthday. So we went up, in fact, last Sunday after worship, we headed up and stayed in Eau Claire Sunday night and then got up to Fergus Falls, Minnesota on Monday evening, and his birthday was Tuesday, and I had the opportunity to speak at the Hillcrest Chapel Tuesday morning on his birthday. That was, I think, only the second time I've spoken at chapel there. That was kind of nice. 20 years ago was the other time. And so got to be with them on chapel Tuesday morning on his birthday. And then Wednesday morning, they had their middle school chapel, and Trevor got to share his testimony. So I got to speak Tuesday morning at chapel. He got to speak Wednesday morning at chapel. And then Thursday was high school chapel again. And Trevor got to repeat or share his testimony for his peers, his classmates, on Thursday morning. So we got to cover chapel there and spend some time, and then we came back on, well, we made it all the way back, actually, Thursday night. It was a little blurry, but a very, very good week for us to be there. And the theme for today, and actually I shared some of this at chapel Tuesday there as well, so back step one more time here. Their theme at Hillcrest Lutheran Academy for the school year, for 24-25, for this school year, is steadfast. The word, the key word is steadfast. And they have a little motto, a little logo with the word steadfast, and then intersecting it, I forget exactly where, but they have three other words that each start with P: purpose, plan, and peace. And so peace was their current theme this semester that they're focusing on within the greater theme of steadfast in the Lord. So I was given just that word, peace. Well, let's see, 2.5 weeks ago now, the day after New Year's Day, January 2nd, it was still Christmas break for students, and Trevor was still home. And on January 2nd, it was a little warmer than today, that day. I forget the temperature, but I asked Trevor if he wanted to go for a walk. He and I both like to go, especially for nature walks, but this one just in town. And he said yes, and I said, would you like to go north to the park? That would be Rigdon Park or beyond, or south to the river. And he said south to the river. So we went for our walk on January 2nd, and just 4 blocks due south from here, you can see the river, Illinois River. It's right there. It's residential, of course, so, and there's even a sign. When you get to that spot, you know, private property, no trespassing, and we respected that. We did not trespass. But we stopped, looked at the river from there. But then if you go another block to the west, and, you know, the street curves south and then curves again, and at that bend, there's a space between private properties. And if you've ever been down there, so 6 blocks from here, there's a little thicket of trees and brush and a hidden path. Not so secret now that I'm mentioning it to everyone. We're not the only ones who know of it, because there's evidence that other people have and are there on occasion. But you just go down from the street, and it takes you right down to this rock ledge right on the Illinois River. Probably about a 5-foot, 6-foot drop maybe from this rock ledge, but you're right on the water. And around, you know, just this little thicket again, this little hideaway of trees and brush. And it's peaceful. Trevor and I went down there and just spent some time. And we talked about this, meaning we talked about the river, we talked about peace, about that theme, about both of us speaking at chapel coming up in a few weeks from that time. And we landed on this verse from Isaiah 48, verse 18, where this expression, this phrase, peace like a river, we sang it in actually a couple songs. It was kind of in there in those songs. Probably most well-known for people of a certain age in the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, because that's how the song starts. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Well, God came up with this expression. It originates with him. And here in Isaiah 48, verse 18, if you know this verse, see if I know it, please recite along with me. It's the Lord speaking. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. That last part I'm not really going to touch on, meaning your well-being like the waves of the sea. I like that as well, but think of the song, when well-being like the waves of the sea. It doesn't flow in that song as well, right? When peace like a river, it's catchier. I'm going to go back one verse to get a little of the context. So in Isaiah 48 at verse 17, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. I'm going to indulge a little bit today, reflecting, retrospective on rivers. There are many more I could actually mention besides the three I'm going to highlight from my life. But I'm going to go back to when I was a college student in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire campus is situated right on the Chippewa River. And probably not every day, but almost every day I was going to class, I would have crossed this river, and if not crossed it, I would have been seeing it or right alongside of the Chippewa River. I was there from the fall of 89 until the spring of 93, and I was involved over that time with Campus Crusade for Christ, now known as CRU, and one day we had a canoeing trip on the Chippewa River. In my memory, I memorized these two verses from Jeremiah 17 that day. But that can't be true because I already had them memorized when we were canoeing on the river. So I don't remember how much or what the time frame was exactly. But these verses I remember reflecting on and probably sharing with my canoe mates. There were three of us per canoe as we were canoeing on the Chippewa River. Again, a day warmer than today. It would have been, I don't know if it was spring or fall. I want to say spring, but it was a nice, beautiful day. Sun was shining, and here's the verses. And this, by the way, is from the NIV from 1984, and this, the NIV that I read from in my Bible now is 2011. They're both just called NIV, and yet the 1984 and the 2011 versions are slightly different, just so you know. So here's the 1984 NIV of Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. If you imagine being on a river, looking at the water, looking at the trees alongside either riverbank, and even seeing the roots going into the water. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, sending out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. Has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Those two verses were read then in Eau Claire in December 1993 at our wedding as some of the scripture. That was kind of my theme verse or verses for quite a long time that I would go back to in my mind and heart. Going to move on from Eau Claire. After I went to college there, I went to Lutheran Brethren Seminary in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. And right alongside the seminary campus at the time, and it's still very close to there, is the Otter Tail River. And in fact, so the seminary building now is the building that houses Hillcrest Lutheran Academy's student union and cafeteria. I see the building, I still, before I enter it, go back to seminary days because that's where the whole seminary was at the time. And Betsy and I, during the time I went to seminary, lived in Westside Heights apartments. Not this West Side, but West Side, Fergus Falls. And the apartment building was right on the Otter Tail River, and in fact, just across a field from the seminary. So my commute between home and seminary was a nice little walk across a field along some trees right by the Otter Tail River. Here's my verse, actually a whole psalm goes along with that. I believe some of you have this whole psalm in your mind and heart memorized, very similar to Jeremiah 17. But here's Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Well, I studied the law, and the word law is Torah in Hebrew, which really means instruction and teaching. It's not merely God's law and commands. Those are part of it, but it's all of God's word. And blessed is the one. And I was meditating, studying, learning. In fact, Marge, her cousin, Marge's cousin, Dr. Gene Bowe, was one of my professors there. He's still teaching today, not at the seminary in the same capacity, but systematic theology and some other parts of studying God's word in preparation for ministry. A lot of time along the Otter Tail River, and again, I enjoyed seeing that water, and there was peace. In fact, every river that I can think of that was in a place where I've lived or spent a lot of time, I have peace thinking about, and I've spent time looking at the river, experiencing that peace, save one. There's only one I can think of offhand, and it was intentionally not peaceful. It was, you know, doing white water rafting in Colorado. Not a peaceful experience, but it wasn't supposed to be. Very different. Well, the next river I'll come to in my retrospective here is, again, right here. The Illinois River, just 4 blocks from where we are right now. That's why I was thinking of having worship down there by the river today. As we talk, we could all be looking at it. You just have to imagine. Right. So 5 years ago, this past week, is when our family actually moved to Ottawa. And even before I began at the church here, we went a few times down to the confluence. So here's a bonus river where the Fox River flows into the Illinois. And very early, I remember driving around the city here, the town, and saying the high school at the confluence, I think that might be the neatest, coolest spot for a high school location I've ever seen. I remember thinking that right away. I mean, the football stadium right there, you can see it coming over the bridge the other way. You can see the whole town laid out. And the Fox River, if I get this right, the Fox River originates north of Milwaukee, somewhere in Wisconsin, flows into Illinois, obviously converges with the Illinois River, which originates in Illinois at another confluence, I think this is right. Oh, so it's the Kankakee River and another river. And then that becomes the Illinois River, which goes all the way to the Mississippi. We know that one. Along the border, yeah. So the confluence right here in Ottawa, I've gone down there several times by myself. Our family's gone down there. Betsy and I have gone down there. It's a nice spot. It's a nice spot. And again, I just like to go and look at the water. Also, a few years ago, Betsy's mom and dad were in town, and our family with them took that Starved Rock trolley tour. So we ride the trolley-looking vehicle down to wherever we got on the boat, which took us on a little tour on the Illinois River. I like to walk at Starved Rock along the river. You can see some eagles on occasion right there. Oh, it's Eagle Watch weekend, I think. I'm not sure how many people are out there this weekend for that. And then this past September, Betsy and I finally got on our riverboat ride on the St. Genevieve riverboat up and down the Illinois River. And I will tell you, we were sitting right on the front of the boat, And it was peaceful. It was delightful. So that brings us back to Isaiah 48. I just want to share these verses again as we move on and get into God's word a little more. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. So now from a little retrospective tour of some rivers, go on a little field trip in the Bible. So many rivers we could visit in the Bible. I'm going to go to three of them, and beginning with the very first river. So as I was looking at Isaiah, I was thinking, where is the first river that we actually encounter in the Word of God? It takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 1, of course, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, God created all that there is, including human beings, humankind in the image of God, male and female. He created them on the sixth day, and God looked at all that he had created, and behold, it was very good. And on the seventh day, God rested. And that brings us into Genesis chapter 2, when the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. We go to verse 10, the first river mentioned in the Bible. It says, Genesis 2, verse 10, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gishon. It flows through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. We get four rivers beginning right there, starting with that first one that doesn't have a name given other than it flows from the garden. This is before Adam and Eve had sinned. That occurs in the next chapter. So talk about peace like a river. The Garden of Eden, God's presence, no sin, no distraction yet. We get peace like a river today. But imagine that was a beautiful, peaceful river flowing from Eden. If you look on either side of that paragraph I just read, we see trees. Genesis 2, verse 8, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then we have the paragraph all about the river and the four rivers. And then verse 15, right after the rivers, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And it goes on. We have trees, rivers, tree, and the command of God. Again, God said, if you'd paid attention to my commands, here, one command, Adam, Eve, if you'd paid attention to that one command, your peace would have continued to flow like a river. Well, you probably know what happened after that. Well, in this little field trip, we're going to go from the very first river, Genesis chapter 2. Then I was like, where's the last river mentioned in the Bible? I was surprised. It is at the very end of the Bible. In fact, the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. This is John, the Apostle John, on the island of Patmos, by the way, who's speaking. And he says, Revelation 22, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Let's get where the headwaters are for the river of the waters of life in Revelation 22. Flows from not other rivers, not from a lake, not from some marshland, not from a confluence of two other rivers. This river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb, clear as crystal. That's, if it's clear as crystal, how peaceful, how calm is that? How still? And yet it flows clear as crystal. Now there's more here, obviously, but just to imagine that, it goes on from there, you know? Talk about peace like a river from the throne of God. It's like awesome. Awesome. Now, this river, it also says, it flows down the middle of the great street of the city. Now, I'm picturing, it mentions here, the tree of life on both sides of this river. And I usually picture trees on either side, the riverbank. This river is in the city. It's talking about the New Jerusalem, the new heavens, new earth. And it flows down the middle of the street, the main thoroughfare of the New Jerusalem. Well, this, of course, brought me right into downtown Chicago. Still with me? Wait, you went from the throne of God to downtown Chicago. Well, let me explain, just because it mentions it's flowing through the city, right down the street. So, another retrospective here. On August 4th, 2020, yes, 2020, August 4 is Kyra's birthday, we all, our family, and Betsy's cousin and her family with us, went and took the Chicago Riverboat Architecture Tour. Anyone else ever done one of these? A few of us, yeah. I would like to do it again. It's like, that was over four and a half years ago already now. Well, we were on this boat on the Chicago River that took us right into the heart of Chicago, downtown. And it's a wonderful tour. Of course, the buildings, the history, the architecture, the design, the purpose, who was in it originally, who's in it now, all that. And yet I realized, too, as we're on this boat in Chicago, you know, the city itself, the hustle, bustle, traffic, pedestrians, chaos, noise, whatever, all that's going on up there. But we're down here on the river. And what was it? It was peaceful. Peace like a river in the midst of no matter what. Even if you don't see trees on either side, downtown city, one of the biggest cities in the world. Peace like a river. It was wonderful. It was delightful. And the Bible's first river flowing from Eden, perfect garden. Talk about peace. The Bible's last river in the New Jerusalem flowing from the throne of God himself, who is the origin of all true peace. Just going to mention a middle river in the Bible, if you will. It is in the Bible a lot. We, as you read through the Bible and are vicariously traveling along with people and experiencing things, you come to and even cross this river probably more than you realize. It's the Jordan River. The Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee in the north, south to and into the Dead Sea. I'm just going to read from Joshua chapter 3 and also give you a little sneak peek or preview that next Sunday we're going to return to the Jordan River as we follow John the Baptist in some of his ministry in the Gospels. But here's Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over, that is, the river. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never seen or never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." This ark was usually housed in the Holy of Holies, the most holy place inside the tabernacle at that point. Now it's out in the open. That's why they're saying, keep your distance. No one is to go near, and the priests themselves are not to touch the ark. They're to take that ark, go stand in the river. This is after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and now about to enter the promised land via the Jordan River. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan River, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground. Does this sound like another story? Yeah. While all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. 40 years earlier, Moses leading the people out of Egypt to cross the Red Sea. Waters parted, they passed through. Now 40 years later, about to enter the Promised Land, crossing not the Red Sea again, but the Jordan River. Stopped, piled up on either side as the ark is in the middle of the river. And all the people pass by, giving it a wide berth, by the way, not coming near the ark of the Lord, his very presence. Back to Isaiah 48. How do we know and have this peace like a river? I hope you do have it. I hope you've had it. I hope you will have it. Experience and know peace like a river. Well, back in Isaiah 48, once again, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer. And when he says that in Isaiah, he's talking bringing you, redeeming you from slavery in Egypt, and the one who now delivers you from your sin. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you. Starts right there. It's to know and understand and believe that what God teaches, including his commands for us, are what are best for us. Do we believe that? God truly knows best, and what he commands us and instructs us is truly for our best. He says, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, my teaching, my instruction, my word, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. How to experience and know God's peace like a river? By paying attention to God's commands. That's what he says right there. Of course, the people in Judah that he's speaking to through the prophet Isaiah in that day, that's why God says, if only, because they hadn't. They didn't believe that God had in mind the best for them, apparently. They didn't believe his word, his commands. They didn't follow it. So they didn't know the peace. He said, if only you had paid attention to what I'd said. If you'd listened, people, and followed what I said, you would know and have this peace like a river. This is also true for us. It begins with paying attention to God's commands, his word, his will, and believing, trusting, yes, this is what is truly best for me, for us. And I was looking in Isaiah. It's close to the middle part of the Bible for sure, and literally held up my Bible and imagined a river flowing right down the center. Flowing water, words, life-giving words of life. You know, riverbank on either side. If you follow the flow of God's word, this river, and pay attention to what he says, he will take you to Jesus. He does and will. His commands, his word, his instructions will take you to Jesus. And in fact, Isaiah 48, I only need to go 5 chapters later, still in Isaiah. And we come to Isaiah chapter 53. The whole chapter is called the Song of the Suffering Servant. But I'm just going to read one verse in Isaiah 53. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Do you hear that word in there? Peace. Punishment that brought us peace like a river, true peace, was on him. What is this verse talking about? The cross, Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is in Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. This one verse is saying, because you didn't pay attention, because we like sheep go our own way, we go astray, we sin, we rebel, we transgress, we trespass against God, and we lose that peace with him. Our sin, in fact, cuts us off from God, from the flow of the river of peace. It's only one way that it can be restored, and that is through Jesus Christ. Listen to the 4 things just in this one verse again, Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he," speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, "he was pierced, crushed, punished, and wounded." One verse. Why? "For our transgressions, for our iniquities, to heal us, and to bring us peace," to restore that peace with God. The word peace here in Isaiah 53 and also in Isaiah 48, and really anywhere you find it in the Old Testament, if it is God speaking of this peace that he wants you to have, the word is shalom, the Hebrew word, shalom. Shalom means peace. It means calm. It means tranquility. It also means wholeness or completeness, harmony. It means security. It means safety. It means prosperity in the godly sense, meaning to prosper in and under God's will for you. And ultimately, the word shalom means friendship with God. Friendship with God. He's the source of this peace. There is no shalom apart from God. You can't just go look at a river, not believe in God, and know shalom. You don't even need to look at a river. If you do know God and are restored through Jesus Christ to friendship with God, we don't have to be near a river to know this shalom, this friendship with God. That's why Jesus came. He wants people to have this peace, which is friendship with him. And so Jesus was punished, crushed, wounded for us so that we could once again know peace and friendship with God. Well, how can we have this peace like a river without actually going down to the Illinois River, without actually going to the Otter Tail or Chippewa or Fox River or any river? Gospel written by John, chapter 7. We'll close with this text. It's taking us to the Festival of Tabernacles. Jesus comes to this festival. John 7, starting at verse 37, it says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me, not just a river, but rivers of living water will flow from within them. Peace like a river, peace like rivers flowing from within you if you believe in Jesus Christ, but you are not the source. He is. That's why believing in him, the source, then these rivers flowing from him, the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, flowing in and through you. And if it's flowing, it's not only blessing you, but anyone who comes into contact with you. It's like they're all of a sudden by a river, a peaceful river. It's flowing from within you. It's God's grace and love and mercy and forgiveness in Christ, rivers of living water of life. They're like, why are you so peaceful? Where does this come from? The world's, you know, going to you-know-what in a handbasket, and you're like, peace like a river. Jesus Christ, flowing in and through you and me. You get to the third in that list of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit, the same Spirit that flows from within you who believe in Jesus. Love, joy, peace, friendship with God, flowing from within you. It connects us to Jesus, to the cross, to Eden, to the very throne of God himself.